While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Thursday as we get ready for Michigan coming up on Saturday night at the Big House. And very pleased to bring in the guy that is now the play-by-play voice of Michigan football, Jim Branstetter. Jim, welcome. It is great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be with you.
Well, first of all, let's start out with me owing you an apology because I was told 7:40 in the morning on Tuesday, and I didn't realize it was 7:40 last night, and that's on me because you were expecting me on your show last night. So I want to start out by apologizing to you on the air because I'm the one that foul-balled it.
Well, I just, you know, as being a broadcaster, that I had to fill like crazy for 2 or 3 minutes. And at that moment, I wasn't thinking very well of you.
But, yeah, nor should you have been. I
well, no, no,
sincerely.
But we got through it, and we had a real good interview next up with the head coach of actually Slippery Rock University. They are playing in Michigan Stadium the following weekend in what's called the Battle of the Big House against Mercyhurst. For some reason, Slippery Rock has become a kind of a big deal. You know, in Ann Arbor, the kids, the students, everybody goes nuts when we announce their score. So every year we try to bring Slippery Rock in. So we had a great interview with Coach George Mihalik, and it worked out fine. So you're forgiven.
All right. Well, thanks for forgiving me, even though I don't deserve it. Let's get to your football team. Obviously, this is interesting times, but I want to get your perspective on what you're watching because you did a great job for all those years as an analyst with Frank. Now you're in the play-by-play role with Dan. What are you seeing, plus and minus, Jim? Because it's not all minus.
Well, the one thing that you see that's minus, when you're minus 13 in the turnover margin, you're not going to win many games. And that's the biggest issue. They're better in the offensive line than they were a year ago, but not where they need to be. I think they're a talented football team. The other thing is they give up big plays on defense, but you know, they're a team that, I mean, I give them all the credit in the world. Last week against Rutgers at Piscataway, and you guys went through this, that's a tough place to play. I mean, they are right on top of you. That was another sellout because I've watched your game with Rutgers on tape as my preparation for this game. And you guys played really well and had to pull it out at the end. But that's a tough place to play. They didn't give up. They stayed right there. They fought to the bitter end, and had it not been for a referee's call and a blocked field goal, they got a shot to win that one. So that's the big thing for me. I'm just really, really glad that, you know, they haven't packed it in, that they're really still fighting. And to me, that speaks volumes of Brady Hoke, that team hasn't been lost to him, because, as you can imagine, the fallout around this football team in Ann Arbor has been just crazy, and it's like they can't do anything right. And all of that's coming at them from the media and from the students and everywhere else. And yet they're still fighting hard, and I give them a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, because to be honest with you, Jim, I thought Darboe made the catch. I mean, shocked that replay didn't give that to Michigan.
Well, you and a bunch of other people. I the thing that gets me is I know that there's a rule that says that if you have the foot down in bounds and you make a football move common to the game, And to me, he stretched the ball out to get to the first down marker. That was a move common to the game. So at that point, he becomes a runner, and he no longer has to carry that catch to the ground. I asked Brady about that last night on the show, and Brady said that the Big Ten powers that be told him it could have gone either way. And he said, what do you mean? And all they would say is, it could have gone either way. And they wouldn't say anything more, so there you got it.
Well, Jim, they didn't go the way I looked at it, and I was looking at it as a neutral observer. The other part, I thought in watching the Rutgers game, and then I rewatched it again this week, that's the first time I've seen Devin Gardner start to look like the Devin Gardner I remember.
I'm glad you brought that up, because he did. I don't, you know, Devin, let's face it. You guys know what happened. We talk about watching games. You and I are doing the same thing, because I'm watching you against Northwestern. And as much as I think Christian Hackenberger is one of the great young quarterbacks in the country and will play on Sundays, he did not play that well against against Northwestern. And if your quarterback doesn't make plays, your offense is going to struggle. Simple as that. It is the most important position on the football field in regards to the offense. And Devin has had his difficulties this year. He's turned it over. But against Rutgers, there was that spark. He made plays with his feet. He threw some completions. I don't know whether he gained confidence back or not, but clearly I thought he played maybe one of his better games against a tough opponent. He played better against Appalachian State and Miami of Ohio, but against a really good opponent, I thought, for the first time, I thought your observation is absolutely correct. He played maybe one of his better football games.
Yeah, I just saw something in him that looked like the Devin Gardner that I remember. That was that threat all over the field that, by the way, had Ohio State at the end of last year sitting back saying, I hope he doesn't have the ball one more time.
That's exactly right. He can be that good, but you know what? You got to do it on Saturday. You got to do it when the clock's running. And Devin's still got to prove that this year.
Okay, let's get to the tailback situation, because a lot of us like Derek Green a lot watching him last year. What does Davion Smith now bring to the table where he's going to get, instead of maybe 8 to 12 touches in a game, where he might get 15 to 20 in a game? What does he bring, Jim?
I think he's a little bit more of a downhill guy. I mean, he's going to pound in there a little bit. Derek had, I think, some wiggle. Sean Beckler used to call it wiggle, where you could get up to the line of scrimmage, he'll make a guy miss, give him a leg, and go. Devian's more of a hammer, and he's not going to run away from too many people. He'll run through them. I like him a lot. I think you're going to see Justice Hayes. And don't be surprised if you see Drake Johnson also get some carries, because they've been going with three backs this year, Derek, Devian, and Justice. And I think you'll see some Drake Johnson. And he's a kid that's local. He's from Ann Arbor, played football, kitty corner from Michigan Stadium. He's a real good back, too, and I think you're going to see him some. So the key, though, with Devian, I think you're going to see a little bit more of a hammer than you are a dancer.
Gotcha. Funchess is 6'5", incredible, but about 230, 235, where maybe in the NFL you're thinking this guy could be a slot, he could be a wing. What does he bring at wideout? Because obviously it allows them to play Jake Butt. It allows them to play Williams and Hill as well.
Right. I think what he brings is a matchup problem with anybody, especially in the red zone. Because your corners are 5'9", 5'10", maybe 6 foot. You're still giving up 3 to 4 inches. Devin's very athletic, and he can jump. So fade routes, jump balls, he's going to make plays on him. The one thing that we've had, and this is why Michigan has struggled a little bit, your playmakers haven't made big plays in big games, and that's where Devin, you know, has to step up. He is the guy. You said it. I mean, you're from Penn State. You're looking at this team, and you look at him, and he's a physical presence, and yet he hasn't really put his imprint on any games this year. Part of that's because the quarterback's had trouble being accurate. Part of it is the fact they can't run the ball, and they're, you know, they've been behind, and, you know, they're getting a lot of pass rush, and Devin has been doubled and stuff. So those are the things that are probably, but Devin is all of that and more, and a guy that will probably play on Sundays again, but it's about making plays. And he's been hampered a little bit, had some injuries earlier in the year, but he's got to make plays. And he's the key guy, because you're right. Physically, He brings so much to the table from a mismatch standpoint. They'll run him in motion. They'll get him in over the middle where you get safeties trying to cover him. He's got speed to beat them. So those are all the things they try to do with him. But the key is, one, getting the guy that can throw it to him accurately, and two, he's got to make those plays when they're available.
Jim, defensively, you'd mentioned and referenced the minus 13. And so the emphasis is how many times has Michigan turned the ball over. But a big part of this is they have two interceptions, one's by Willie Henry, the other one by Jordan Lewis. But they've only forced one fumble. They didn't recover that. What are you seeing there?
That's crazy. I mean, I don't know. They come after you and they hit hard and they play really tough. But they have not gotten the bounce. They have not gotten that one hit where the helmet's on the football and it bounces out of there. It's been very disappointing to the entire Michigan staff defensively. And they've worked at it. I mean, I watch them at practice, and they're working on second man in on tackles, trying to strip the ball. They're doing all those things. They just haven't been successful yet. Hopefully they will get there. I mean, they're working on it. But you're right. It's one of those anomalies that it's just mind-boggling to think you don't get a fumble after you've played six games. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah, no question. But I'll tell you right now, you look at defensive ends in this league. Jim, tell me where there's a better defensive end in this league than Frank Clark.
I don't know whether there is. I mean, I haven't seen a lot of the western half of the Big Ten. I know I've looked at a lot of the eastern half so far. The only one I can think of is maybe Shalik Calhoun, the kid at Michigan State.
Yeah.
But Frank can play. And the thing is, Brennan Beyer, I love Brennan Beyer, too, for Michigan. He's number 97. He's a guy that's just never out of position. You know, he's a guy that, you know, just seems to be by the ball. I think our interior is good, but again, it goes back. I mean, nobody's been able to really run the ball against us. That's the one thing that I think Michigan brings to the table defensively. Jake Ryan is as solid an inside backer as you're going to get. Joe Bolden on the outside is probably having his best year. And nobody's really been able to run it. Now the key is, can you generate a pass rush with your front four and leave your defensive backs out there, kind of on an island, when you know that they've struggled? It's kind of a tough, fine line to walk for defensive coordinator Greg Madison. But at some point, you got to, you know, make a call and say, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to leave our corners out there, and we're going to live with it. Or, you know, we're going to go back and play zone and let them try to dink and dunk all day.
You know, it's interesting. You talked about Jake Ryan being in the middle. Mike Hall had to make the adjustment from playing outside to the traffic pattern in the middle, which, to his credit, he has made with complete ease.
Oh, he's been good.
Has Jake made that same kind of transition where he was a little more outside after coming off the injury last year to being back in the middle? What kind of transition has been that been for him with the traffic pattern there?
It's been pretty good, and I like Mike Hall. He can play. I watched him on tape. I think he's a really outstanding linebacker. I think Jake's very similar in the sense that Jake's one of those guys that even when he was playing outside, that Greg Madison would put him in some packages where he was inside. And he knew where things were going and tight ends are running by him and crisscrossing routes behind him. So he was aware of all the things that went on inside. Mostly had passing downs, so it wasn't as tough a transition for him. And he's coming off knee injury, too, from a year ago. So he's been pretty good. He's made a great I think, transition to the inside linebacker. Plus, I think it gives Greg Madison more opportunities to play some really good, what I would call athletic linebackers on the outside, especially in this day and age where you get spread offenses, you know, where you got four and five detached guys. You sometimes need linebackers who can play like, converted safeties, the way the offenses are going out there today.
Two more questions, Jim, and I'll let you go. First of all, what's it been like for you? You learned, obviously, from one of the you were around one of the best in Frank Beckman that we have universal respect for.
Absolutely.
What's it been like for you to move from the color chair into the play-by-play chair and to work with your old friend Dan Dierdorf?
Well, first of all, working with Dan is a joy. He has such a great take on the game. He's so knowledgeable, but he has a way of expressing it. Like, we were playing Appalachian State, and one of his color commentaries was, you know, there's a Devin Gardner actually makes a catch. Excuse me, Devin Funchess makes a catch over a safety. And Dan's color commentary was, that's just a play where your guy's better than the other guy.
Right.
I mean, it you know, that says it all in what, 3 seconds, and that's exactly what he does. Very, very good. And the other thing I think that's great about doing the play-by-play is it's a challenge for me. I've been doing color for 30 years. So to walk over and do play-by-play is fun, and it's a new challenge for me, and yet it's kind of given me a better understanding of how difficult that job is. And the thing that I find that's most difficult for me is as the housekeeping goes on a broadcast, all the little commercial reads they give you to get in and out, and you've got to get that within the flow of the game and not lose the content of the game. That's right now what I'm really working on, and I'm getting there, but I'm not there yet.
Well, you're doing a heck of a job as one play-by-play guy to another.
One final question.
Jim, in all of this, we know that Michigan is 2-4. We know that. There's still plenty of season to play. You know the quality of the people in charge, and you know the quality of the man and coach that Brady Hoke is. Are you surprised at the venom in some areas directed toward them because you know the quality of the people involved?
Yes, I do. And yes, I am surprised, and I'm very disappointed at it. It's one of those things where, for some reason, Dave Brandon, the athletic director, and Brady Hoke have become the George Bush of the University of Michigan, where if there's a rainstorm, it's their fault. How that got there, how that came to be, I don't know. But, when you don't win and you're at a university where you're expected to win, it really... everybody starts coming down on you. And the other thing is the biggest thing that cost this team and cost Brady and Dave Brandon, both of them I know, both of them are friends, and both of them have been outstanding, is that thing with Shane Morris. And that was a miscommunication thing on the sideline, and to be honest with you, it was one of those perfect storm deals where everything that could possibly go wrong, there were two or three different times where that would have gone away completely. And instead, the wrong thing happened, and it completely blew up. Let me tell you, Brady Hoke's not going to put a guy in a game if he's got a concussion. That's just not going to happen. And yet there are people out here who think that he's doing that. You know, and that's insane. But it's a crowd mentality. And sometimes, I don't want to bring this up, but in a lot of ways, it started to take off. You know, you guys understand this, and when the Sandusky thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a snowball going downhill, and no matter what you try to do, no matter what you say, it's just feeding on itself, and the next thing you know, you're swallowed up. And that's kind of one of the things that happened here with the Shane Morris deal. And yet Brandon and Hoke, through it all, stood tall, you know, took the slings and the arrows, and they're still working at it and still getting it done. And I love them both for it.
Well, you know what? Just one quick point. Taylor Lewan was taken out of the Penn State game last year by Brady Hoke, even though that was the one of the best football players on that field, because he knew he did not want him injured any further. He did that, and people forget that. I remembered it.
Sure they
Okay?
Can.
But he took him out, and people forget that. And the other part, too, is not one time have Dave Brandon or Brady Hoke thrown a single person under the bus in all this. They have stood there and answered questions.
Yes, exactly. And that's why, I don't know why it gets away from you, but it did. And you know, there are people who are, well, these days during, you know, social media, you've got nameless, faceless people who need an opportunity to become important, and so they try to. And they do it on social media, and they do it all over the place. And they seem to have found an audience, and they've whipped up this craziness to blame Brady and blame Dave Brandon. Hopefully we'll weather it, because these two guys are good for college football. They're good for Michigan.
Yeah.
And I just hope they're able to weather the storm. And, you know, the politicians and the leaders of the university don't listen to the nameless, faceless bloggers and listen to reason and stand there and look at, look at what they know they've accomplished in the past.
Well,
but you never know how that stuff happens.
You don't, but as you can tell, you and I are on the same page. So
absolutely, Steve, you're right there with me.
Jim, thanks so much. Appreciate the valuable
anytime,
time.
Man. Thanks for calling.
And believe me, I will make it up to you.
No worries. It's no big deal. Hey, it's happened to me a million times, and it's happened to you a million times. So yeah. One of those things that you live with.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much. I'll see you Saturday night. I look forward to it.
Take care. Have a good trip in.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
Jim Brandstetter, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Michigan football. We'll come back. Kevin Herr will break down the total interview as only he can in just a few moments. On, right, Kev?
I can do that right now if you'd like. Good job. That was my breakdown of the interview.
Okay, wait. Tell me Buhner hasn't left. On News Radio 1070 WK, okay.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You traitor.
No, it's a guest appearance to help promote this program as well. It's kind of like when The Simpsons and Family Guy kind of went together and had a merge show.
No. No, there's traffic problems in the area. They wanted to get somebody who was the consummate whiner.
That's not the way I saw it.
And this is where you jump in.
That's not the way I saw it.
Well, you're driving that.
Maybe it's not the way you saw it, but you fill the role beautifully, though, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I can definitely give a perspective on it. There's no question.
Well, Kevin, if you're sitting in traffic with that certified Lincoln MKZ.
Listen, there's worse ways to be in traffic than in that vehicle. It's true.
How about that, Steve, for a nice plug? All that luxury and comfort that you're in? I mean, I guess sitting in a traffic jam doesn't really bother you if you're in the Lincoln.
Well, but there's only one problem. If I'm in it in a traffic jam, I can't use functions like the lane assist to keep me in the lane, and I can't use functions like the adaptive cruise, because if you're not going anywhere, you can't adaptive cruise.
Well, doesn't it have like those seats that are air conditioned and heated? And
that it does. That it does. That was a definite comfort the last couple of mornings. But I take that thing on the adaptive cruise. I set it, and I go from basically home to work, and I don't touch the brake or the accelerator, no matter what happens in front of me, until I make the left-hand turn onto King Street in Northumberland.
Thank God for technology protecting the motoring public.
Yeah, I can't deny that. Somebody pulls out in front of you, this thing already adjusts for it.
Wow, so traffic jams, just you're fine with those as long as you've got that Lincoln.
And again, like you said, with the comfort available there and HD radio as well, yeah. I don't have to do anything. I don't mind traffic as much as I used to.
Yeah. Hey, Steve, my takeaway from the interview you just did with Jim Brandstetter from Michigan football, the play-by-play announcer, is this. They are going to throw everything they can at Penn State.
This is the season right here.
Yeah, they're going to attack on defense with multiple blitzes. On offense, he mentioned about a running back who hasn't seen a lot of playing time. It looks like their quarterback is going to be given liberty to run with the ball, not stay in the pocket, and they're going to challenge Funchess to step up and play the big game of his senior year.
Yeah, and I think so. I think that they're going to throw everything into it. This is one of those last stand moments And I think that's what I expect from them. Yeah. I think, you know, I'm going into the game. That's how I view it going in.
I think that the coaching staff at this point, they're 2-4. I think they think if they go 2-5, that is not going to be a good thing come the end of the year for them as coaches. And so I think they're going to – and they're men with great pride, and I say that as it's a positive characteristic and trait. They're going to do everything they can to disrupt Penn State and make a statement. And let's not forget, there's still a lot of what do we call it, hurt, if you will, from losing in the 4-overtime game last year at Penn State. And I'm kind of thinking that one of the reasons that Michigan has decided to play its first Big Ten home night game is because of last year. They want to create the same environment for the Wolverines that Penn State fans did last year when Michigan came to town for that night game.
Well, we'll see how it pans out. And going into it, let me give you a few tips on tomorrow's show. Tomorrow we're going to have on Chris Adamski from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, who's going to talk about the game. Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated to talk about recruiting. Jeff Hartman behind the steelcurtain.com, because we have to have some Steelers stuff on to calm Kevin down. And Steve Samsel on television sports and how easy it actually has been to find the baseball playoffs.
Channel 140 for those at home.
I have Fox Sports 2 in two different locations. Didn't help me find the game.
Your wife's been hiding the clicker again, hasn't she?
Maybe she blocked those channels. Maybe that's why I couldn't find the game.
And to that I say, okay, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Now, all the games are on TBS and Fox now, or is it still Fox Sports 1 and TBS? I'm so confused.
Well, it's at least initially TBS and Fox, and I believe Fox will continue through into primetime next week. So, and then Fox has the World Series.
Well, good. That means they won't take off Utopia for more than a week. So that's good news for Fox. It was a joke.
Okay. Something I had. Some is that I take it Utopia.
It's a reality show.
Oh, Fox, okay. So. Not my strong suit in terms of knowing things on television.
That's all right. I was trying to help out. It looks like, Fox has the NLCS and ALCS is TBS. Although, I don't know, Steve. According to this, on Saturday, the Fox main broadcast network will carry the games. Is that what you said? Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure I heard you right.
Bob, am I speaking a language other than English today?
I'm just trying to clarify sometimes in case you were passively listening to the program.
Well, what I'm thinking, Steve, is that you're talking in English, but Kevin's interpreting in Kleon. I understood you said Fox, and you didn't say Fox Sports 1 or anything like that. You said Fox, meaning as in the Fox network.
Too many networks. I'm
which
confused.
Is, by the way, Kevin, for those people who have Service Electric, Channel 5.
Yeah.
I only watch it on 505.
Okay.
Which is the HD side.
I don't get
I'm a TV snob.
Oh, you must be. I get the regular thing.
I cannot watch sports if it's not in HD anymore. I mean, I am so spoiled by the wider shot, especially when it comes to football. I will actually bypass a game. I remember, was it the TicketCity.com Bowl? That was on, I think it was on ESPNU, Steve. Is that right?
Sure.
Pass out? And I only probably had it in standard definition at the time. So I went on my son's Xbox, and we could watch it in HD. Now, there was a little bit of a delay, but at least I got to see it in HD. I'm sorry, watching a game now in standard definition, not seeing the safeties and linebackers, really, it takes away from the game from me now. Mm.
Okay, fine. when it comes to college football, you're probably wondering who the top teams are in television ratings overall.
Yeah.
So who is number one?
Is this a... Can we guess?
No, wait. This is the top 10... Now, say that again, Steve. I want to make sure I understood correctly.
I would go with the old standby Notre Dame.
No.
So what? Tell me again what the question was.
Notre Dame is eighth.
Oh, gee.
Which school is number one?
Which school?
When it comes to average television ratings for all their games.
Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
And Alabama's number one.
Okay. I was going to say Alabama or a team in the SEC.
Okay, Texas A&M is two. Mm-hmm. Michigan is three. Georgia is four. LSU's five.
Wow, we're getting low for the Notre Dame cut.
Yeah.
Ohio State is six. Auburn is seven. Notre Dame is eight. South Carolina's nine. Florida's 10. Nebraska's 11. Tennessee is 12. Florida State is 13. Clemson's 14. Stanford, 15. Northwestern, 16. Wisconsin, 17. Penn State, although Penn State, Wisconsin, Northwestern are all tied for 16th. Okay. Oklahoma is then also tied for 16th. 20th is Mississippi State. 21 is Ole Miss. 22 Missouri. 23 is Michigan State. 24 is Arkansas. 25 is Oregon. I thought you guys were all like into Oregon football here. North Carolina is 26. Texas is 27. UCLA is 28. USC is 29, excluding Colin Cowherd. 30 is Purdue. 31 is Arizona State. Iowa's 32. Oklahoma State, 33. Vanderbilt, 34. Miami, 35. Pitt's, 36.
Now, this would be for just 2014 games played so far. Okay.
Yep.
Well, the fact that Penn State and Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State have not played yet may play a role in those numbers, wouldn't you think?
It'll play a role because they're going head-to-head, so it'll increase the numbers. Big Ten is number two in overall ratings. SEC is number one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
ACC is third. Pac-12 is four. Big 12 is five. American Conference, six. Mountain West, seven. Conference USA, eight. MAC, nine. Sun Belt, 10.
Did you mention U.S. University of Southern California?
Yes, they are 20, I want to say 26.
I was going to say, that's what I thought they were down
they
at
are
the end.
29.
Wow. I mean, there's only about 30 million people living in Southern California. Apparently none of them are listening or watching Southern Cal games.
Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about if Michigan State wins, they'd be great for television ratings and things like that. But again, brand names, and I talked to Dave Repsid about this earlier in the week. Brand names mean something on the table. Now, the SEC has become a powerful brand. So a lot of people are watching. I know I watched A&M Mississippi State. I found that to be the most intriguing of all the early games on Saturday. And it turned out to be exactly what I thought it would be. And, yes, I did watch Ole Miss play Alabama. Then I flipped over and I watched Rutgers and Michigan, which of all the night games for me personally was the game not just that I had to see, it was actually the game I wanted to see. So two SEC games and a Big Ten game were the primary games I wanted to watch. Then at the end of the night, I watched the end of USC and Arizona State.
Yeah. Hail Mary.
Right, the Hail Mary at the end where the kid for USC feels like he has to fair catch a punt, and you're like, yo, dog. Okay, I have two words for you. I want you to remember these words the rest of your life. High point. Okay, and so this is a lot of people have said at Michigan State, you know, they'll bring some ratings power. Michigan State is obviously a really good football program right now, really good. But they're not the brand name in their own state. I mean, that's the difference. Brand names mean something. Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Nebraska. Those are still the four big brand names in this conference, and it's reflected in the ratings. And on top of that, the SEC as a brand has been able to do a great job in its branding of getting out games that people want to see with the Alabamas, the Auburns, and so forth. Notre Dame is still in the top 10. But again, Michigan State is 23 on this list. I mean, they're behind Penn State. They're behind Ohio State. They're behind Michigan. They're behind Nebraska. And so when it comes to branding and brand names, that's what attracts the casual fan to the set. Ohio State's going to play Michigan the final weekend of the season. ABC's going to pick up the game. Why? Well, you have Ohio State playing Michigan, and the casual fan gets interested in it despite records.
Steve, we got Dick from Milton on the line. Check it in.
Hey, Dick, how are you today?
I'm good, Steve. Hey, this has nothing to do with Penn State or Bucknell for a change, but you know, I've been an Oriole fan since the 1950s when they went to Baltimore from St. Louis, and I would be remiss in not wishing them well this weekend. I mean, hopefully they can beat Kansas City, and then whatever happens, happens. We'll see what happens with them anyhow. And the other thing I wanted to do is congratulate Kevin. I listened to him on the mark, and that Batmobile he drives must really be something.
It's really nice. You check it out. It's pretty nice. It'll be at Sunbury Motors North 4th Street coming up tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, the last car I heard it was like the Knight Rider drove Kit there on television at one time. Was it the only thing that ever compared to that thing? Anyhow, I just wanted to, you know, I'll talk about Penn State and the other teams some other time, but I really would just wanted to mention the Orioles because, you know, they don't get there as often as a lot of other teams, and Kansas City, obviously, maybe a little bit more than Kansas City, but it could be interesting. We'll see what happens.
Hey, Dick, I have a question for you. What was the name of the team that moved from St. Louis to Baltimore? Was it the Orioles then?
Browns.
St. Louis Browns.
The Browns, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, St. Louis is still the number, it's still supposed to, allegedly, I don't even know, but I guess it is, the number one baseball city in the United States. For a lot of reasons. It's rated as the number one city in the United States. And
I think they're the National Championship Series for the ninth time in the last 12 years. Is that unbelievable or what?
Yeah.
Steve, how's that relationship work out with the Penn State College Spikes? I mean, is it a good deal, or I guess that's who they're. Are they still with
that Spikes? They extended it for two more years. Look, Dick, they've had three winning seasons in the history of the franchise. All three were with the Cardinals.
I guess my other question is, and this is the only thing that I can't understand about that in a sense, is that, you know, there's the St. Louis fans here. Don't misunderstand me. It's not like the Phillies or especially the Pirates up there.
Right,
How do the fans accept them?
Dick, amazingly, they accept the fact because, first of all, the affiliation means something up to a point, and some Pirate fans were not happy initially. Except here's the difference. These guys started winning. And people got in. They started seeing better baseball. And it added to the ambiance and the atmosphere that minor league baseball is. And they've been in the New York Penn League Championship Series each of the last 2 years since going back. And people have enjoyed that part of it. They feel like I mean, 1 year as a Pirate affiliate, they won 18 games.
Right.
18. That's a low number. That's a low number, Dick.
But obviously, the Phillies being in Williamsport is a real deal. I mean, I've been up to a couple of times, and it seems like a really big deal with Williamsport area people having the Phillies
huge.
In there.
It's huge, and the Pirates are going to take their affiliate and move it to Morgantown, West Virginia, starting next year. Brand new ballpark.
Right. But anyhow, I just wanted to mention the Orioles. I'd be remiss in not doing it. Penn State will play this weekend. Everybody else will play. But Baltimore might not play tomorrow night if it rains. Well, that's where that stands right now. Anyhow.
Yep, got it.
I still enjoy the show.
Got
I just
it.
Haven't been able to get on lately. Told Kevin.
That's
but
all right.
Anyhow,
we love having you.
It's fun. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks so much, Dick. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Time to wrap things up. It was a magical trip with Kevin today. He had Tom Brady and Troy Polamalu traded for two first-round picks each.
I don't think that's exactly what I said.
He had Fox. We know now where Fox Sports 2 is on Service Electric. And
that's my customer service help there, my public service.
And I'm trying to think what else you did today. I'm trying to think of all the positives. Oh, you're on the mark tomorrow.
And we got a great movie review of Goodfellas. Little known story.
And in-depth yesterday in Storytime with Steve. So you have to check out the podcast, Bob.
Excellent.
Well, the Storytime with Steve was about the Northwestern basketball game and about fixing a basketball game.
Yeah.
I mean, again, when Penn State's an active participant and I'm physically there, I think it is a story.
Steve, can I ask this question? Can I ask
argue
this-
with you.
I want to ask this serious question. While the game was underway and as the game was winding down, say the last 2 minutes, did you come away with a feeling that something was wrong with the game?
No. Northwestern's ended up with a 5-22 record, and Penn State was a good team. They're a 21 team.
Yeah.
I just looked at it. I felt like, okay, 30-point game. It's February. This is late February. It's like the third week of February they played this game. My thought is in a game like that, like, well, home team, they quit.
Yeah. The thing that that's what I thought you were going to say, and that just shows you how gamblers really look for something like that. So at the end of the day, you don't even think the fix was in when, in fact, the fix was in.
Right, because Lee was suspended the first 10 games of that season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this wasn't like, you know, and then somebody came up with this idea.
Yeah, so that was...
You know, surprised somebody didn't try to strip Penn State of the win.
Exactly.
By the way, so that you don't miss any of the games this weekend in the playoffs for Major League Baseball, on Service Electric Cablevision, TBS is on 541 in HD, and you'll find Fox 56, or the local Fox affiliate, on 505 in HD.
And if you're in the neighborhood, just stop in at Kevin's house. He'll be glad to let you watch him.
Right, and maybe I'll let you in, too, Bob.
Thank you, Kevin.
You'll get a chance to see
Bob,
HD.
I'm going to be in Michigan, I think, this weekend.
Bob is going to be at the Michigan game. We've arranged for tickets.
Absolutely, and I up in row 96, but that's okay.
I didn't want to go anyway.
I'm looking forward to going to the big house, Steve.